you know, we're the ones that keep it wicked. Rock and roll, all good, mix it up, that's my ticket. Cruising in my Cadillac Escalade.
Welcome to episode 49 of the Deck Tees podcast, brought to you by LegitMTG.com. My name is Erin Campbell. This is normally the time of the season where I would do a recap show and look back on all of the guests that I've had on this past season and give you guys some behind-the-scenes dirt on them. But something came up, a couple of somethings, actually. First up is M14. The pre-release is coming out this weekend and all the events that go along with it. And that means I had the opportunity to record with one of my very best girlfriends. She is the Kiki to my Jiki. Hello, Jen.
Hello.
Hi.
Yay! I'm back!
You are, and I'm very excited to be recording with you again.
Me too.
Yeah, so you've had some things come up for you since the last time you were on my show.
When was the last time I was on your show?
Like, you were here for Dragon's Maze, I think.
That was out right after the cruise.
Yeah, because I remember it was Dragon's Maze.
Before the cruise, yeah.
Yeah, because I remember we spent a really long time talking about Progenitor Mimic because I couldn't figure out what it did. Yeah, so you are officially my spoiler girl. So whenever a new set's coming out, you are mine to have on the show and talk about it with me.
Yes. Yeah. I got to know. When did Dragon's Maze go? I think it was more.
No, it was Dragon's Maze.
I know, but at the date. Oh, it was in April, I think. Mm-hmm.
So I believe you were sitting on a secret then that is no longer a secret.
I think so. That's what I was trying to figure out. Like, I was like, when did the secret come out?
Yeah. And your secret is?
Oh, yes. Well, it's not a secret anymore. but I am 7 months pregnant? Seven? I don't know. The whole, like, month thing is really funky because it's really, like, 10 full months. Mm-hmm. So, like, when you start counting, like, in the very beginning, like, so many weeks, you know, every 4 weeks is a month. So you're like, yay! So right now I'm at 27 weeks, so that's in the middle of the seventh month.
Okay.
So I still have 13 weeks to go, which if you divide that out, it's like 3.5, I think. That's math, right? Yes.
Oh, I work for a bank. I'm not the one to ask about math.
Yes, yes. It's a little less than, it's like 3.5.
Okay.
So it's some funky stuff in there with numbers.
And you affectionately refer to the baby as Tuck Tuck?
I do. Like, I was at, like, 5 weeks, so I found out really early. Like, I kind of knew, like, right away. Because we were trying. And I was like, I gotta go test. But so you don't get to do anything for, like, the first, like, they don't even let you into the doctor till, like, 8 weeks. So I'm like, what am I supposed to do for the first 3 weeks? Like, this sucks. Like, I can't tell anybody because, you know, you're just, like, waiting. So I just started looking up, like, silly names, you know, just to pass time because you don't know what you're going to have until later, so, like, week 20. So I was like, I gotta do something. So I found, like, the silly name stuff, and I just picked Tuck Tuck, and I just, like, told my husband, and then, like, he started using it. He's like, how's Tuck Tuck today? And I was like, oh, we're going with this? Okay. But then I was sitting in, I didn't realize that Tuck Tuck was a magic card. I had no idea. So I went through, like 10 plus weeks or so calling it Tuck Tuck. And then I was at the store and someone was playing their legacy deck and they had Tuck Tuck Grunts. And I was like, what did you say? Tell me now. Show me the card. So, yeah.
Yeah, I thought you planned it that way because I remember because no. I think when you told me when you told me you were calling the baby Tuck Tuck, you also linked, I guess, so it was an article and on the mothership talking about the character of Tuck Tuck. So
I found out. Yeah.
Yeah. So I got the news at the same time that you told me about the character. So, you know, from my perspective, it looked like you planned it that way, which was funny. And I love it. I love that it's become like its own thing where it's like Tuck Tuck wants olives and like.
Well, I think a lot of people do, like, they have, like, a code name for the baby, like, after it's born, you know, like, especially on Twitter or social media.
Yeah.
Maybe not so much Facebook, but, like, some people do that, you know, like, because they don't want to, I don't know, they don't want to use so much real stuff on social media. But name is top secret, the real name. But I think Tuck Tuck is a good nickname.
Yeah, I don't even know the real name.
I don't either. I think I might change my mind when it pops out. So
I actually know a couple of people that are doing the nickname thing. Like I have a friend, a lot of my World of Warcraft friends do. Like, for example, my friend Seraphis, he plays a Death Knight. That's his main character. And he calls his daughter the Nightling. I know a druid who calls her baby the Steedling. And I know it goes from there. And yeah, I think it's really cute when they do that. And I kind of like seeing people do that because I feel like motherhood or like parenthood is almost like a cult. And it's weird seeing people sort of give in to the cult. So I love seeing glimpses where I love seeing little, you know, moments where people are still themselves and they haven't fully given into, you know, all of that that comes along with it. And they're still, you know, able to enjoy their hobbies or whatever. So that's really cool.
Yeah, because, like, I don't want to give up magic, you know, like, just because you have a baby doesn't mean, like, your life's over. I mean, you have to find different ways to balance everything, which you don't really know how that's going to happen beforehand.
Yeah.
I think it just happens, like, you just figure it out.
Yeah, and you and I have joked about that, like, for the last couple months. We talked about, like, what it would be like to go to, like, a Grand Prix with, like, the baby and, like, the papoose on your chest, or, like, asking the judge to, like, hold it for a second.
Could you just hold this while I finish this, you know, killing this guy? That'd be great.
Or just, you know, you're bouncing the baby on your lap, and the baby, like, reaches for your cards. Like, Mommy needs her Huntmasters. No, just...
Don't touch that!
Or even better, if you
That's
were, like...
college... tuition right there. Do not touch that underground CO. Kill you.
Mommy needs to earn this money so you can go to college. Or we were even
I'm not going to be a prostitute. I'm just going to have to play like pro magic. Like I don't know what's worse. Like
I know
we were forced to play pro magic just to put your kid through your college as compared to being a prostitute.
But what a great angle, though. You know, that's something I'm sure you don't hear. You know.
No, not really.
We've also joked about what it would be like to be pregnant, like having not even delivered yet. And let's say your like water were to break an event, like would you get a time extension for that? Or like
I've talked to judges, and there's not anything in the rule book because so my due date is right after Theros comes out, so it's the beginning of October. It's actually the week before Pro Tour Theros. So I can't go there. Can't go to Dublin. But
damn.
I know. So I'm hoping I can make it to pre-release and like play, you know, at least a couple rounds.
But see, you're a drafter. So this is how I imagine it going down. So you're drafting and someone passes you the pack and you're just like, oh. And people are like, is that a good hand? Oh, we know she's going to pick something really good from this. Oh, and you're like, okay, Jen, you've held the hand long enough, pass. And you're going into labor and people think you just like happen to pick a really good hand. And then they're like, shit, she's going into labor. Oh, cancel the draft.
Like, I think I could finish the draft. I mean, you have enough time. Like if your water breaks, like, I don't know. Like I would have to be like, I'd have to constantly be asking what the time is. Like, so I could like, you know, sit there and note down how many contractions are as I'm like playing. Be like, hold on a second. I got to check this. Got to write down the time. I'm just going to like a time list next to me. And they're gonna be like, what are you doing? I'm like, hold on a second.
At that point, I would probably just start hate drafting because it's like, I'm probably going to get carried to the hospital anyways. And I don't want these guys to have these really good cards. I'm just going to take this, and this. And
destroy their draft. Like, just take a color of every, just take a card of every color. Like,
oh, that's perfect. That's awesome.
I'll come back and let you know how this works out. Nothing's going to happen. It's going to be like the like most boring, like, labor ever.
Yeah, I wonder if it really is anything like you see on TV in the movies, you know.
I don't know. I'm sure there's stuff on like YouTube and everything. I don't really want to go look at that right now.
Are you ready? Like, are you anxious?
No, I think I'm good. I haven't got to do the room yet, so we're trying to like finish everything up. Kind of segues into your next little topic of how like I had a podcast, Genisodes, and I had to end it. Just because, like, the room that I'm sitting in right now, well, is the baby room, but we have to fix the living room and get everything else ready. So all the computer stuff is gone. I'm on, like, an iMac, which I don't know if, hopefully the sound is still good, but
yeah,
all the recording stuff that I had, like, the mics and the headset and, like, the stuff where I was recording the show on is gone.
Mm-hmm. Was that a tough decision for you?
Not really. The show is almost 3 years old. I was doing interviews every week. I think my average episode count was more than one a week for the time that I was doing it. So that's a lot of episodes and you start running out of people after a while.
Yeah.
Or at least like, I don't know. It was just time. It felt like it was time. Like it was a good time to end it. It was like something good is happening. I just get to move on. You know,
Yeah. And you definitely went out on top. You know, there's a saying that I love where it's better to leave the party while it's still, happening than, stay till the end. And you know me, sometimes I like to troll the iTunes charts, and you're still sitting pretty on the charts. You haven't dropped out of the top 200 at all, and you're still definitely in the what's hot column. So it's good that you went out like this. You know, it wasn't like you know, people were tired of you, and it wasn't like your quality was declining, and you definitely went out with a bang.
Yeah, I really like doing it. It's just that I can't give it that 110% when I'm gonna have a baby who's gonna need that 110%. Like I don't want to. I hate how like I would hate to cancel on someone or not get a show out because I'm not sleeping. Like all that stuff. Like I don't want that. I don't want the show to suffer, you know? And then I don't want to regret having a baby or regret the show, you know? Like I don't want any of that. So it's just better to just everybody happy, go do this.
It's interesting because I'm even starting to notice that, and certainly not in a bad way, but I'm starting to notice that my show has sort of taken on that priority where I was, I've been single for a couple of months now since I broke up with my boyfriend, and I kind of was rebounding for a while, and I was really enjoying being single. And then I had that moment the other day where it was like, well, things have kind of settled down, and I'm not really, humping everything anymore. And I kind of would like to get back in the dating pool, but then I'm like, when am I going to have time to do that? Like the show has taken off since Dragon's Maze, since I last recorded with you. And the followers have increased, and there's more demand for people to be on my show, and that means having to keep all of that in line and constantly churn out questions and all of that, and I love it. Like it's not anything that I regret, but it has really taken up more time, and I agree with you where it's like if I were to start dating again, the show would suffer. And I did have that realization where I admitted to myself I'm too busy to date right now. And I get what you mean where wanting to, having the option to do the show while having something else means the show would suffer, and you don't want to do that, and I get it completely.
And you don't realize how much time you're actually spending on the show because, like, it's stuff. And because your show, we're going to talk about magic, but you're constantly having to keep up with magic. You're constantly having to read the articles, keep in touch with people, keep in touch with Twitter. So, like, even though you're doing it for fun, like the Twitter stuff, like you still have to keep up with these, you know, talking to people, meeting new people at events. Like, it's, you know, how much time do you spend a week on it? Well, I edit and, record, but there's just so much day to day that you don't even think about. Like, you had to sit there and count and be like, well, I read two articles today. Well, that's 20 minutes. That counts as research. Like, if you had to be nitty gritty about it.
And it's also because, I know I sort of pride myself on asking different questions. So, I try not to ask the simple questions of what's your favorite color or things like that. So, for me, I do have to probe. And I know, for example, I talked about having, Tom Martell on my show today and Gavin Verhey. And, those are people that I need to do my homework on. If I, especially if I need to go to Wizards PR, those are questions that I need to think about well in advance. And I need to think about the timing and what I can ask. And then if Gavin says, no, we can't talk about these things, well, then I have to go back to the drawing board. And if I want to just vomit out boring questions, yeah, I could do that. But because I've set the bar so high for myself, and because other people have too, I can't let them down.
Yeah, but it's a
So,
good bar to have. It's
yeah.
the quality and quantity of everything, so.
Yeah. So, along with this, you've also decided that you're giving up standard.
Well, for now, just
Okay.
because like rotation is coming.
Okay.
But there's a whole reason for it too. It's just kind of like what once Dragon's Maze did come out and Voice of Resurgence popped up everywhere and it was in the decks that like I want to play, but I'm not gonna go and spend $200 on voices. So it's just kind of been like, well, I have to, start slowing down because I have to save money for the baby and everything. So that was the one reason. But I started watching like Legacy on Twitch. I've been watching a lot of Twitch TV. My husband puts it on the weekends, so we sit there and watching all like the Star City stuff or the Pro Tour stuff. So Sunday's always like Legacy, and I watched Tin Fins go off a couple weeks ago, and it was hilarious. It was like turn one went off. Like he just was like, fuck this, go. He's like he probed and there was nothing there, and he's like, ta-da! And just beat the guy.
Now, what
And
does that
then,
mean? Like, I'm not familiar with that. So, what did he do?
oh, he got Emrakul out or Grizzlebrand. So it like Tin Fins is like kind of like Ad Nauseam and Epic Storm. So it's a storm deck. So you can have a whole bunch of cards in your hand. You have your seven cards. You can probe the other guy. Gygaxian probe or whatever you say. duress them. So somehow, you know, whatever the deck does, you check their hand, see if they can like stop you with a force or something else. If they're playing elves, green doesn't have anything to stop you really. Okay. So you can just go off. And it's just a combo deck. You end up going through your deck, you like brainstorm. So you look at your next three cards and those cards do stuff and you can like, it's a whole bunch of different things that can happen. Mm-hmm. And then you can just bring out Grizzlebrand and kill.
And how soon can you get him out?
Tin Fins can do it turn one.
Are you serious? On turn one?
Yeah. On the play. You can do it.
Shut up.
Oh, it's hilarious. It's hilarious.
What?
The Tin Fins deck, I think, has the highest probability of going off turn one of a storm deck. And so this happens. And Brant's like explains to me, because I always have to ask questions with Legacy. I'm like, what does that card do? What is this guy doing? Because it's always like, you know, even with elves, you're going through like your deck, on turn four, and you're just like pulling elves out. You're like, how are you doing this? You have like one forest. Like, how did you get 20 cards out? It's the same thing. But then so the next game, he used Silence, which actually is reprinted in M14 now. Mm-hmm. So he used Silence in the beginning of the first card he played, which makes it so that the other guy can't do anything. And then he just goes off. Turn one again. So this other guy is just sitting there. like
I'll just watch.
I think you could just tell he was like pissed. Like he just like threw his cards down. He's like, go on, do it, make sure you go off. Because like a good Legacy player will make the other person like finish. Because mm-hmm. like you can miscount, you can lose your mana, you might not hit anything.
Yeah,
you
it's
might
like that just... with High Tide too.
Yeah, you could go off and start doing, you know, your storm count or whatever, and you can hit crap. Mm-hmm. Like you just get nothing. And then it's a good thing, you know, the other guy didn't scoop up. Mm-hmm. But I was like, I want to play that deck. And my friend was like, well, I have a bunch of Legacy decks that I proxied together. I'll teach you how to use Ad Nauseam. And I'm like, okay. This looks fun. He's like, this is a complicated deck. And I'm like, okay. Which is even better. Because if it's more complicated, like, I don't know. It's just a turn on, I guess. Mm-hmm. So I've decided to take up Legacy. So shipping out all of Standard before rotation, like selling my Thrag Tusks, you know, trading them into a dealer, trying to get up to the big money cards, which is, you know, your duels, like Lion's Eye Diamonds, like these $80-$100 cards, which you aren't just going to like throw cash down. You have to, it's better to trade in your stuff that you aren't going to use mm-hmm. and put it towards that.
Yeah.
Because that's what, I mean, Legacy is like, it's just, entry is like $1,200. I mean, there are decks out there that you can make on a budget, but those I think aren't the decks that you're seeing every week. Mm-hmm. You sit there and watch, you know, like, oh look, that guy has a, you know, four duels. Well, guess what? That's $800. It's between $600-$800. And even if you get like the crappy ones, like that you can still play because you put them in a sleeve, but they're like in good condition or whatever, which is like the lowest of low. Like, that's still 120, wow. 140, like for an underground sea. Like it's fun.
We were even joking about the fact that you were really having this baby as a surrogate to pay for your Legacy cards.
Pretty much. I could sell the baby. I don't know. Give it away.
This baby's my lands.
It is. I really need to like put it on the registry, but the Bye Bye Baby doesn't have a link to Star City.
Wouldn't that be fabulous if you could do that? Like,
I could make a Star City wish list, but no one's gonna go on there and buy it for me.
I don't know. I think that's something they need to do, because you bring up a really good point, you know, especially graduation, or you have, you know, weddings or anniversaries or baptisms even, like, you know, like start them off young.
Make a registry, yeah.
Yeah, they need to do that.
Birthdays. But I mean, you do have a wish list that you can show people, but a wish list is kind of like, you get one wish list, so you can put anything on there. But I feel like if you could make it for an event, like you go to Bed Bath & Beyond and put your wedding registry or like your new home registry, like, you should be able to make different ones.
Yeah. I can totally see you and your husband, like, after your baby shower, you're complaining, like, oh, God, these people got me a diaper genie. All I wanted was a Bayou, fuckers.
Yeah. God damn it. Why do we have to have this kid? Think of all, like, the Legacy cards we bought instead of it.
And your husband's really awesome. I got to meet him, and he is everything you've described, and you two are very cute together.
Yay!
Very nice guy. And your friends are very lovely as well. I was there for people who may have missed it. I visited you a couple weeks ago and you were nice enough to let me stay with you and pick me up at the airport. And you, I am proud to tell you that you have the most comfortable futon I've ever slept on.
And then I let my puppy Ella wake you up. I was like, Ella, go! Lick her.
That was the first time I've ever woken up to a woman licking me before. It was kind of strange.
She's good for that.
Yeah, I miss her. She was a very, very sweet puppy. I actually thought she was going to be bigger in person. I was kind of dreading her at first. I was like, uh-oh, this
She's
dog's going to...
27 pounds. She's not getting any bigger. Happy's okay. 57.
Yeah, your dogs were cute. And your friends are really lovely. Some of your friends have started following me now, and we're talking. Mm-hmm. And yeah, just really, really sweet people.
Yeah, they're good people.
Yeah, you've got some really great people around you. So while I was doing my thing at SCG Philly, I admit that we did get separated a little bit. So what did you do to pass the time while I was off hitting my personal record of 6-4?
Yeah. Well, I knew I didn't want to really play standard. I'm just kind of like at that point, like I was kind of bored of it. By bored of it, I mean, like I don't have the voices, so I'm not getting to play. Like I can't play these decks that I just want to play. And I didn't want to borrow them and you know, go through the whole day and do the whole meta because I haven't been really practicing in it. Mm-hmm. So I was like, ah, forget it. I'll just draft and I'll do 2-headed giant and I'll meet people. And because we're in Philly, it was right, it's at the convention center and they have Reading Terminal Market. So if anybody who's been there, whether it's for like GP Philly or for any of these SCG events, or just they just live in the area or know of it, like Reading Terminal Market is amazing. They have all this awesome food. So
that breakfast sandwich. Oh
yes.
My God.
The Amish people take pretzel. They make like fresh pretzels and put like meat and eggs and cheese in it. Yeah. And they're like, here's a pretzel. And you're like, oh, I want to eat all of these.
And we're talking like real ingredients. We're not talking like, you know, liquid eggs. We're not talking like slices of crap cheese. We're talking like, you know, it's real. And
like they made the cheese with their hands. Like, the farm is delicious. Oh, and then like I had like a pulled pork sandwich or something. Or no, it was like a roast pork thing. And they just have like this like, they like rotisserie porks that they've made like all morning, and they just like it's delicious. And I feel like the places at Reading Terminal Market, the longer the line, the better the food.
Yeah, pretty much.
So you can't go and get this stuff if you only have 10 minutes in between rounds if you're playing like a control deck. So I was like, screw it, I'm not going to play Magic. I'm going to draft and I'm going to go get food. Like this is what Tuck Tuck wants. So I played a draft. I think I got through two rounds and I lost in the second. It was kind of ridiculous. But like we didn't draft anything. Like we were all sitting there, we're like, what the fuck is going on with these cards? Like we just passed like crap after crap. Like it was just like the packs just didn't, I don't know, they weren't there.
It happens.
It happens.
Yeah.
Seems to happen a lot in the Dragon's Maze set, like in Dragon's Maze Gatecrash the other thingy.
So you're saying is it not a good set to draft?
No, it is. Oh. It just seems that whenever I've done it at the couple, you know, like we weren't getting the stuff. It also doesn't help at my store that all the kids come in and they're like, I like playing this kind of deck and I like playing green red. Okay. So they open a pack and it doesn't matter if there's like an amazing black card. They will just take the red green card.
Mm-hmm.
Pass the pack. And then just keep taking red green. It doesn't matter. There's no signals. So you're sitting around the table with like five teenagers who are doing this and a couple other people and no one's getting anything. And they're like, oh, I don't have any more green red cards because everybody's like, because there's like three people at the table who want to go green red. Mm-hmm. Let's all do gruel. And then they're like, oh, well, maybe I should take a third color because there's no more cards coming around. And then they cut everybody else off. And so it's just like this mind boggling. Like I'm hitting my head on the table. Like well, there's signals, people. There's signals. I'm not getting anything, and that's what I get, four-color crap. Like, you just throw the cards up, and you hope you can make a deck out of them.
You'll have to instill that in Tuck Tuck early on. Like, Tuck Tuck, there are signals. Learn them.
Yeah. Well, I feel like the Dragon's Maze set, you know, the block set, it's a lot harder, because, like, you know, Gatecrash and... what is the other one? I'm totally baby branding this.
Gatecrash, Dragon's Maze, and Return to Ravnica?
Yes, Ravnica, that one. So with Ravnica, I mean, you have like Gatecrash and Ravnica, which have two different guild sets in it. And then, you know, Dragon's Maze, which has all 10. So it's just, it's hard trying to, you know, am I going to get the guild that I want?
Yeah.
Because it's only one pack, so it's not as heavy in that stuff. So I'm looking forward to M14, where it's going to be... you know, three packs of the same.
Yeah.
I miss that.
Yeah. Yeah, I've heard the core sets are really good for drafting. I read Melissa DeTora's article today, and she seemed pretty excited about it. And I'm excited even from a sealed perspective, because it seems like one of the sets you could really go mono black with, which I love. So there's this little part of me that's like, I am going to bring my Zendikar lands and my good sleeves, and watch, it won't open any black.
I think you're better off if you want to go mono black in a draft as compared to a sealed pool. Mm-hmm. Because you just don't know what you. It's only six packs as compared to, you know, there's 24 packs in an eight pod. Mm-hmm. So you're getting more. You're still getting, like, you know, you're getting a good number of cards, but your variety of packs that are being opened.
Sure.
Are coming around.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, that's how draft and sealed work, but.
I will say that being friends with you and seeing how much you draft and how much you enjoy draft, it definitely makes me want to get better at it. And one of my local game stores has just recently decided they're going to do weekly drafts. So drafting was something they never really did, once in a blue moon. And they've decided that they've sort of left it up to their customers what events they want. So especially if people are offering to run them, they're letting you do whatever you want. So there's been a lot of demand for drafting. And the owner of the store was like, okay, if you guys run the draft, we can host it here. And he found a couple of people willing to host the event or run the event. So now we're doing weekly drafts. So I may put my hat in the ring and or my name in the hat and try it. And sign.
As well. Yeah, because our Friday night at our store is draft. And there's a couple stores, you know, in the area that they do standard. Mm-hmm. And so I haven't gotten that. So I haven't been doing a lot of standard testing because we don't go to those stores.
Yeah.
And do that. I think it's different for everybody, you know, who do a lot of drafts, who do a lot of standard stuff. It's, you know, I don't get to sit here and make like the silly junky deck just to go play, you know, on a Friday night at standard, because that's what you do get to do it in standard Friday nights, is you can make that jank deck to just go and like screw everybody over and have fun. Mm-hmm. As compared to, you know, going to like a Star City event where you want to be taking your bank control, you want to be taking Jun, you want to be taking like the big name decks that are doing well, that are good for the meta, you know, like they're able to, you know, if you're playing band control, you're able to work against aggro and Jund, and you have the tools. Well, if you're building a janky deck that just is like, wah, 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 well, that's great for like four rounds on a Friday night. Like,
I don't know. There was that guy who was playing Lobber Crew that managed to get pretty far at SCG the other day.
I mean, there are decks that can get through, but I'm saying like ones that are going to be sticking around in the meta that are actually making a name for themselves. Like, that doesn't happen that often.
Did you see that deck tech, by the way?
No.
Oh my God. That guy, I'm totally laughing with him. And what I loved about this guy was that he knew he had a weird deck. He himself was a little weird. He had like the best attitude of anybody I've ever seen. So like, Ruben Bressler is interviewing him for this deck tech. And you know, Ruben's confused as anybody and he's trying to figure out what's going on. And this guy's got like this crazy fro going on. It's really funny. It's a little limp, but it's still there. And he just was so excited to be playing the deck. And Ruben would sort of mention or ask him why he was playing these cards. And the guy would be like, it's pretty funny, isn't it? Like, he kind of was able to laugh at himself, too. Like, he didn't go into this, like, I'm going to use my Lobber Crew to decimate my opponents into oblivion. Hell no! He was there to ping the shit out of you. He didn't have a plan. Like, that was his plan. And
he walked in to ruin, like, eight people's days. Like, that's what he was doing. So everybody who walks away from the table playing against him is cursing his name.
Yeah, and I mean, he just had such a great attitude, and his t-shirt was funny. Like, he had this weird cartoony t-shirt with, like, a hot dog and a bottle of mustard, and the bottle of mustard says, what's up, dog? And
those are the people that you hate at, like, the PTQs, because, like, you know, you're trying to go to the Pro Tour, and you're getting screwed over at like, game, you know, you're in round seven, and you get your second loss to, like, this jank deck, and you're like, why couldn't you just play something normal? Not screw me over just because it's, like, you're really good against, like, because I can't stop it. It's just mind stack. That's why people get angry and tilt. Wants to destroy things.
So M14 pre-release is this weekend. Do you have any plans for the pre-release?
Yes, I'm going to sell my standard stuff and trade it in for an underground sea. That is the first thing I'm going to do. After I pay to get in.
Okay.
Then I'm going to play pre-release.
Okay.
Just one. I can't do two at a giant because all the money that I'm going to be spending is going to the underground sea. So I get one shot at this. But yeah.
So just one event the whole weekend?
Yeah, I think so. between saving up for Baby Tuk Tuk and just the legacy cards I want. There's a legacy event in August, so I need to get these cards for that.
That's
so
the
I'm on a budget.
Isn't it? Isn't that the big legacy event that wasn't at Gen Con?
No. This is a local one.
Okay, because I could have sworn there was one that was supposed to be at Gen Con, but then they said it wasn't going to be, and that's become like the new haven for all the fans. And no?
I don't know where that's going to end up being, but I'm going to a local one. I'm like, I haven't really gotten to play too much legacy, so I'm like, if I can do a local one, and my friends will give me the cards to finish borrowing out the deck.
Okay.
Like, I'm not going out and buying like $1,000 of cards, but I can pick up a couple here and there.
You'll be giving birth to your baby in a kiddie pool.
And they're like, you just need to play. Like, pretty much that's all you have to do is just go play.
Yeah.
For legacy. So I'm just going to go to a local store and, you know, lose 03. because it'll just be fun.
Yeah, I haven't decided what I'm doing this weekend. I know one of my local game stores is having five events back to back to back to back to back. That's not including. Okay, so there's a midnight event. Then there's one at 11 a.m. that day. There's a two-headed giant that day, a 7 p.m. that day, and then there's an 11 a.m. the next day and a 7 p.m. the next day, Sunday. And if you pay for all of the ones but the two-headed giant one, you get like a discounted price. So if you sign up for all five of the sixth one being two-headed giant, you save like $40.
It's a long day.
It is. And I know some people that are doing it and they've done it before and they're like, you can do it. And I'm like, no, realistically.
I've actually done the double day and like the midnight into the next day. Or I think we did the one midnight and we all left by two. We just opened the packs and kind of just like, it was a smaller crowd of normal people, or not normal, of the regulars, regular normal people.
Yeah.
At the store. And we just kind of like, played around with it, played a couple games, and was like, okay, let's go to bed, get ready for tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm definitely not a midnight person, so I think what I'm gonna end up doing is I think I'll do an event Saturday, and then if I can find a second head, because my usual second head is going out of town, which sucks, so if I can find a good second head that I think I might work with, I would really like to do the second, the two-headed giant event on Saturday, and then Sunday I will do at least one event. If I feel good, I might do another one, but at the minimum, I'll do two. If I get a second head, I'll do three. If I'm feeling really up for it, I'll do four. It just depends how I feel. Like I said, if my head feels clear and like I can keep going, but I mean, I seem to recall doing the RTR pre-release and I literally did the 11 o'clock event immediately after was two-headed giant. There was no space. So after the round four was done, we went straight to two-headed giant. That was four rounds.
And how many rounds do you do for pre-release then?
Each of those was four rounds.
Oh, okay. So my pre-release is all day. It's however many people, and so, you know, if there's 60 people, you get in eight rounds.
Yeah, we didn't
so
have
it's
that
like
many people.
Eight round day.
Yeah, but I still played eight rounds back to back to back. I just played four rounds of the normal sealed, and even after that, my brain was fried. Like, I think I went home in a daze. I got on the bus, and I just sort of stared out the window, and I was like, lights. And then I just got off the bus. Like, I couldn't form sentences. I couldn't even chew food. I just wanted to go straight to bed. And then I had to get up the next morning and do it again. And it was fun, but it was pretty much a vegetable. Like, I can't tell you what deck I played. I can't tell you what I opened. It was a blur. So.
Yeah. I'm hoping I can do well and not just get into the children's bracket in like, the first.
I don't know. I like doing less competitive pre-releases. Like I'll,
oh yeah.
Like it's, we have. We have three or four stores in the area, and each one I sort of rate by like how competitive they are. And I'm purposely going to like the more casual store just because I try not to. I try to leave my game face at home. Like I try to win every other time I play a game, and this is sort of the weekend where I'm not really there for that. Like I'm not going to try to lose, but I'm not going to like go and like, you know, get mad if I lose. Or I'm not going to gun for anybody. It's and they're not fun. It's a pre-release, you know.
Yeah. You're supposed to have fun. I really do enjoy seeing. You know, the dads bringing their kids or, you know, like the moms dropping the 10-year-olds off and they all sit there and they look in their cards and like opening the packs to them is like magical. Like you just see their faces light up like when they get the foil cards. Like it's really cute. And then you play against them
I really enjoy seeing the two-headed giant because our two-headed giant attracts a lot of couples. It's very strange. People even, and there are even people that we don't see on a normal basis that will come out just for the two-headed giant. Like they love it. Mm-hmm. And it's really great seeing couples work together. And I love seeing, you know, the dynamics there. And, you know, I like to read into a little bit. Like you can definitely tell the couples who know how to communicate and who really love each other and the ones that maybe aren't doing so well. And just, it's great for people watching, especially because a lot of the women feel like, you know, they want to get involved, but they find like solo play intimidating, or they find duels intimidating, but they get to work with their partner. And maybe even guys, I've seen girlfriends come in with their guys who are newer to the game. And I think it's another great way to get people into the game.
Yeah. Cause at SCG Philly, I ended up doing Two-Headed Giant with my friend Charles. Now my husband wasn't playing that.
He's cute, by the way. I'm just throwing that out there.
Yeah, that too. So my husband didn't come on Saturday. He was playing Legacy on Sunday. So this is what boggled people. So I sit down with my friend Charles. I am 6 months pregnant. I am showing. And we would sit down, and Charles would be like, "Hi, my name is Charles." And I'm like, "Hi, I'm Jen, and this is Tuck Tuck," and I point to my belly. We wouldn't say last names. We wouldn't do anything. We'd just start playing. And then, like, we'd start conversing with the other couple, whether it was, like a couple or two guys or, you know, like, the father, son, like, whoever the other two-headed giant team was. And then they would be like, "Oh, congratulations." And Charles, like, "How are you excited?" And he's like, "Oh, I'm not the father." He's like, "We're not even married." And, like, it just blew. And they would look at me like, "Where's your..." You know, I'm like, "Oh, my husband's not here today." What do you mean he's not here today? He's not playing? And I'm like, "Oh, he's coming for Legacy tomorrow." Like, I just nonchalantly just like, yeah.
My husband makes me play at events we can afford cards.
Blew their minds. Like, he's not here and you're playing with someone else and you're pregnant? What the hell is going on? And then we went 4-0 and won. Like, yeah. It was just like, you could just see the little things in their head going around. And, like, calculating, like, what?
See, if it were me, I would have milked the shit out of it. I'd been like, "Sweetie, what should we play? Like, darling, like, you know, stroke his arm a little bit." I would have ran with it, like, you know, and...
Oh, wait, we're just friends. Lives down the street.
Oh, I know. I just, if it were me, I totally would have gone the full nine with it, but that's just me.
Oh, yeah, it was good times. But we were really good at communicating.
Good.
So it's like...
Good to know.
I'm a good communicator.
Cut to you, like, fighting with your husband, like, "Charles listens to me and you don't."
I'll have a good one.
So what were some of your first impressions when you saw the set spoiled for the first time, or even just seeing the cards sort of trickle out? What were some things that sort of...
Well, I mean, like, everything came out before, there was a bunch that got spoiled before Modern Masters. And then, so we were going through the whole Modern Masters thing, which was super fun. And then, like, it took forever for the rest of, like, the stuff to come out. Mm-hmm. Like, especially this week, I think they only did, like, a week-long, like, spoiler or preview set. It was, I mean, before, like, we had, the 150 cards, a lot of it looked like a core set, pretty much. I mean, you're getting your reprints, things that are coming back, the announcements of, like, the Planeswalkers, which was always going to be a big thing, everybody knew that. I just didn't see, I mean, there's money cards in there, but you just didn't see, like, the, I don't know.
There was kind of like, that jumped out at me. Like, I feel like white's really pushing lifelink. Like, I'm really seeing a lot of that for white.
I think it's always white. Like, it's your typical core, and they're hitting the points that, you know, the colors hit, which is nice. I mean, it's going to be great for draft.
Yeah.
I think that's what it looks like a super fun draft set.
I was seeing a lot of things that had to do with enchantments, like Auramancer, Ajani's Chosen. There's the black one where every time you cast one, a creature gets -2/-2, which is interesting because outside of banned auras, we really haven't seen enchant creatures or just enchantments in general get used.
Yeah.
So I wonder if that's going to prompt people to use those.
I don't know. I mean, it's going to be interesting how it affects the metagame. Mm-hmm. But then you get the little kid who's sitting next to you and like, "I want to take all the enchantments." And you're like, "Please stop doing that. Don't play that card. Don't take it. Bad." I'm going to be like the worst mom. Like, "Don't take that card. Put that back down." I'm not going to care, you know, if he's eating chocolate or anything. Cake. It's going to be like, "Don't take that magic card. That's a bad one. Do not make a mill deck." Smack. Go to your room. You didn't do well in Jack tonight. No dinner for you.
You know, your kid's like, you know, spraying graffiti everywhere and he's burned down a couple of houses, but he drafts like a saint. Like, priorities. So how do you feel about slivers? Are you for them, against them? Does the art bother you? What are you thinking about slivers?
They're in all different colors. I think the art's fine. Okay. I mean, I didn't play back when there was slivers before. Like, I didn't play way back when. Mm-hmm. An Onslaught and everything. So, you know, they're just going to be there. Mm-hmm. It's.
Would you draft them?
I think maybe. Okay. I think if you get if it's coming around, if you see a lot of slivers, I think it's the same thing in Modern Masters when you saw like Talids and you know, your artifact stuff. If you saw it coming around, like you started scooping that up, because mm-hmm. Sometimes it's just not there. Sometimes you're just not going to see the slivers.
Yeah.
Or someone else is going to take all the slivers, or that little kid is going to take all the slivers just because you like slivers, and you're like, please stop doing that. There's nothing in this set. Or like he's going to get like a deck, and you're like, no, you did it wrong. Like. I mean, I think they're going to be fun. It's not as strong, like, you know, and Liz Del Toro wrote that, you know, it's not as strong as it was in the other sets, but I don't think that's what, you know, Wizards was trying to go for. Mm-hmm. I think they're just trying to, like, you know, reintroduce slivers.
Yeah.
Because it's a core set, you know, like, let's put something fun in there.
Yeah.
Do something.
And people are really passionate about slivers, you know, in both senses. You know, the people that were really happy about the changes were super happy about them. And the ones that weren't, man, were they weren't. Like, shit hit the fan.
Yeah, I don't know if I drafted as much as just because I like playing, like, a two-color deck or, like, even, like, a monocolor deck if it's possible. Like, I mean, if you're going into slivers, you got to need that the mana fixing. And,
yeah,
you know, we're going to get to talk about the mana. But, I mean, what you aren't getting – there's no more guild gates, like
– Yeah. That was another thing you brought up, too, was we don't have any buddy lands this time around, and we don't have Farseek. I think the only thing we have is a one green. It just lets you search for a basic land and put it into your hand.
Yeah,
and
we have Darksteel Aegis. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
No.
That's going to be interesting, because I think people have gotten very reliant on their turn two Farseeks, or even just their Farseeks in general. And they also reprinted Verdant Haven. Mm-hmm. So do you think this is going to slow the game down a little bit?
Do you mean like standard meta, or are we talking about just like
standard meta?
Yeah, once rotation hits, mm-hmm. I mean, you still have Farseek until
October,
mid October. Yeah, I think right, great by the Pro Tour. Yeah, when Tuck Tuck is born, the rotation will happen, and there'll be no Farseeks.
That sounds so like demonic, you know, like. Her baby will bring the rotation. Like, yes. Dun, dun,
my baby's bringing the worst rotation of standard meta ever.
Oh, your child.
The Antichrist, right? of magic. It'll birth. I'll have the baby like the night that standard rotates.
Sales plummeted. Tournament attendance waned. It was all because of the Tuck Tuck.
Which would be appropriate, wouldn't it? Because, I mean, Tuck Tuck is like a... We don't call it a stupid goblin. We call it a silly little goblin. Mm-hmm. I tried to tell my mom the story of Tuck Tuck, and she was like, oh, Jen, you should really change his name. I showed her, like, all the cards. I was like, look, it's a Tuck Tuck. She's like, oh, that's a Tuck Tuck? I'm like, shut the fuck up, Mom.
The disapproving mom tone of, could you please change that? Like...
He better be a really big kid who's going to play football so he can beat people up who call him Tuck Tuck. What? Thanks, Mom.
Oh, Jesus. Okay, so other than that, I always ask you this every time I have you on for spoiler shows, Jen. What are the five cards that you are the most looking forward to in any order? Or you can go in order. I don't care.
Okay, well, there's only three because there's not going to be five.
Three?
There's not so much in the set. That's
I actually have seven I'm excited about.
Okay, well, you can take my other two.
Okay.
It's the two hexproof guys. They're definitely going to get the Bant hexproof. I don't know how much he's going to really work with the meta as much because you are losing Snapcaster. But
Jennifer
which Stalker?
Penelope, you are Bant hexproof?
I know I'm playing it. It's just fun to watch it be played.
You're a mother. Do you really want to pass that down to your child? Do you really want to condone Bant hexproof?
Maybe. Oh, but I like Witch Stalker. Witch Stalker is the green guy. Ugh. He's fun. He's also really expensive if you want to get him in
What's he going for?
Huh?
What is he going for?
Well, if you're going for foils, he's expensive. He's like a $15 foil right now.
Ooh.
So Witch Stalker, it's 2 green and a 1.
Mm-hmm.
Hexproof, whenever an opponent casts a blue or black spell during your turn, put a +1/+1 counter on a Witch Stalker. 3/3. I like it because it's green. Mm-hmm. I also, because I liked Thrun and my Dungrove Elder deck. So I just like green things.
Yeah. How many of them did you buy?
I didn't buy anything for pre-release because I have to spend my money this month on legacy cards.
Good girl.
But I did pre-order 4 foil silences, but that's because they are in a legacy deck.
Totally fine.
So.
Not like when you went on a Sin Collector shopping spree last time around.
I only got 4.
Didn't you? I could have sworn you got more.
No, that was the
Skylashers.
The Skylasher, which okay. didn't pan out. But I only bought 4, and I bought 4 for my husband.
Okay.
My friend Andrew's the one who bought 12.
Oh, that's right, weirdo.
You were supposed to yell at him.
I know, but he's been through enough.
Yeah. Probably traded them all out to get like a spikes, like I did.
All right, so what's the third card?
Well, that was just the first one.
Oh,
the
sorry.
Well, the other one is the green. The other one is the Glade Cover Scout.
Yeah.
But it's gonna those two cards are gonna impact Standard for the summer.
Sadly.
Before it rotates.
Yeah.
But then I don't really know what's gonna happen to Hexproof stuff. Mm-hmm. But then the third one is the Young Pyromancer.
Ooh. Oh, you too?
It's a legacy playable uncommon guy.
I don't get it. Help me understand.
Well, for legacy with the red, it's every so what is it? It's whenever you cast an instant or sorcery spell, put a 1/1 red elemental creature token onto the battlefield.
Sure.
So you get the Pyromancer out, and then you storm. So every time you cast instant or sorcery, and if you storm on it, you get a whole bunch of elemental creatures, and then you probably do something where you make all your creatures have haste, and then you go boop 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 boop. Win.
Yeah, that card seems to be getting a lot of attention, and I'm really surprised. And I think it's just because I'm not thinking of outside of Standard. Because in Standard, I'm just like, Tragic Slip? Like, I'm not really understanding what the fuss is about. But when you say it like that, Jen, I get it. I totally get it.
So right now, Young Pyromancer is, you would have to buy it for $2. Mm-hmm. But the foil is at 10. It's already out of stock.
Wow.
So, I mean, 10 foil. I don't know what it was when it came out because I wasn't like, oh my god, I need to buy these cards. Cause I'm not gonna get a play in Standard through October through like December. Like I'm probably not gonna get out. I might be able to do some drafts, but I'm not gonna be able to go to like events and really get to play.
Mm-hmm.
Probably, you know, like I could borrow like a deck and go here or there, but really it's gonna be Tuck Tuck time. So, and by the time I come back, the next set, so Theros will have come out, and then the next one after Theros.
Interesting. And like, I've noticed that Legacy folks like their foils. They don't settle for just the, they're in it to win it. If you're already spending that much money, fuck it. Just foil it all out.
Pretty much. I mean, like, that's what, like, brainstorm. I don't even know how much, like, a brainstorm foil is.
Oh, that's crazy.
Let's see. Brainstorm foil. Do they even make them? Oh, yeah. It's like 150 for the Masquerade.
Are you serious? Shut up.
Yeah, there's not that many. Oh, the promo is 50.
No. Brainstorm. Isn't that a common? Brainstorm's a common, yeah?
It's a common.
A foil common is $100?
I mean, a regular one, just buying it, it's like $50 or $2 for a common.
Okay, yeah, I see what you're saying. Mercadian Masks foil out of stock, $150.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, you can get like normal ones. Like there's a foil... no, you're right. You're right. That's the only foil I see.
The FNM foil is I mean, like, so, yeah, really expensive.
Man, I am glad I'm not playing Legacy because I'd be living
off ramen. No, don't do it.
I know. I'd be living off ramen and prayer. Like,
I feel like if I'm going to get my cards out, if I'm selling my cards, like, an investment would be, you know, Underground Seas. Because if anything does happen, like, and I do want to get out of Legacy or Magic, I would be able to make the money back, you know, through, because the legacy cards are going to hold their value.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, buying it on, buying, you know, the dual lands isn't a bad thing.
Yeah, that's one thing I'm excited about. Like, I imagine my Liliana of the Veil will still have value after rotation. So I would like to think once rotation hits, I'll be able to trade them away for something nice. And
one would, yeah, you have to look at if it's getting played in Modern, how is it, what's it doing there. You
it
know,
was in Legacy too. I saw it in a Legacy.
Yeah, if it's starting to get in Legacy, you know, yeah. As people start playing with it, getting and where they rotate, like Thrag Tusks aren't going to be worth anything.
No,
sorry, no. I'm pitching them like Saturday. Is it Saturday? Because I would like to pitch them. And get my $6 for each of them.
Like use them to make a mobile for the baby.
Yeah, like that's what would happen if I don't trade them out before rotation.
Yeah,
and that just happens in general. That's the normal Magic life that it is.
Yeah.
But anyway,
no other cards that stood out to you?
Nope.
Okay. I'll lead the way then. So, first and foremost, praise Allah that this is here. Scavenging Ooze, fuck Reanimator in the ear. I am over it. I am done. I don't care if it's four color, if it's Esper. No. And I'm hoping that Scavenging Ooze is enough to make it go away. I will be putting.
I don't think it's going to make it go away, though.
What?
I mean, there are cards. I mean, like, you still have Graveyard Hate that people bring in.
But okay, so you figure that. But the Graveyard Hate that I imagine Reanimator's used to dealing with, they're used to using like Acidic Slime and Abrupt Decay to deal with. But a Reanimator doesn't really pack any removal unless it's like Celestia Charm. So if you have a Scavenging Ooze, the only thing they're going to have to deal with it reactively would be the Abrupt Decay. They can't target it with Acidic Slime. You can't. I mean, you could use, you know, Angel if you can get it out. But the fact that Scavenging Ooze doesn't tap, or that you just pay green and you can just start eating shit. Mm-hmm. And you can splash it in different decks. I would like to think it'll at least make a dent in it. Something has to give. I mean, we cannot spend the next 3 months with Reanimator still on top. We can't. And and you can't tell me that this card wasn't put in there for a reason. I think people know that this is a problem, and this is their way of trying to get rid of that problem. So I'm all for it.
I think the meta is pretty healthy, though. Like, my husband was saying, like, you didn't play when there was only one deck that everybody played. It was just one deck. And I was like, oh, okay. Like, I don't know what happened like 10 years ago, but apparently the meta sucked. Like, there was like one deck. It's like when everybody was playing Delver, and Delver was the only thing everybody played.
Yeah.
Like, that's not fun. But right now you have like so many choices. You can play Jund, or like, you know, Naya aggro, or midrange, or, I mean, you do have the decks that you probably don't like Ban Control, or
I think it's just that people feel like, I think people feel like just the things that Reanimator does are mm-hmm. things that no other deck can really do, like just in terms of card advantage and everything else. And I don't want to say like unfair or anything, but it definitely, it's almost like it plays limbo, which is the way that we know the game and the way that we know the rules. It just seems mm-hmm. to have ways around that. And the fact that it's been going on for so long, and that people are taking it in all of these weird directions, and it's just played out. You know, I mean, thing about Delver was fairly consistent, where there were very few variations of it, where it was a pretty stock list. But now you've got people just trying all these crazy things, and they're like, you know, four color with Sire and Olivia. And it's like, no. And I remember when I saw Colossal Whale for M14, I was like, someone's gonna try and reanimate that. I just know it. Like, you know,
probably.
And, you know, but it's just people are doing all these crazy things with it, and it's just gone so over the top.
I think with rotation, that brings like new life and brings new decks. That's exciting.
If it's not reanimating Zagana, I don't want it. I want a reanimator deck with Zagana, and I want to call it Dead Fish. That's what I'm doing. So. You heard it here first. The other card I'm excited about, being a black girl, I am a mono black girl till the day I die. Sanguine Blood.
That's a reprint, yeah.
Oh my god, I am so janky. I want to pair that with like the other one, and I want to do like loops and shit, and I want to live the dream. Viscopa Guildmage.
The dream with enchantments, but I see where you want to go. I mean, I had a black white deck. You definitely like, you want it to be there. You want yeah. it. I just don't know if it is.
Yeah, I mean, I'm very bad
Something
at deck building.
To come out like with Theros, like it, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I'm terrible. At, I mean, I'm terrible at deck building, but I mean, I can see, I definitely feel like this might be a good time for Mono Black Control. And right before we recorded this show, I saw that Sam Black had written an article, and I feel like a lot of the pieces are there. You know, we've got Nightmare, we've got Mutilate, we've got the Bad Lily doing her thing, the Legendary Rule with Other Lily. I mean, there's a lot of good stuff there. And I hope that people, more people of Sam's caliber who are really good deck builders will come forward and pick up the cause and then churn out some good Mono Black Control. This is something a lot of people have been hoping for a while. And I think it's time. So
I think that'd be fun. Yeah. And it'll be more, it'll be less inexpensive. It'll be inexpensive.
Yeah. Which also brings me to Corrupt. Oh, love this. Again, Mono Black deals damage equal to the number of swamps. Yes. a big fan of that. So this card, Traumatize. Have you seen that?
One second.
That was one of those cards where when I saw it and I was like, this can't be real. Like, the shenanigans. Like,
oh, yeah. I looked at that and I was like, son of a bitch, that little kid is going to take it and try to build the mill deck. Like, you just know it. You're just like.
Okay, so for people.
So you take the half a deck and then there's no other mill cards. There's a couple. I mean, like, let's say you get Traumatized and you get, like, Jace. Like, how many times is that really going to happen? Seriously.
Okay, so for those who are playing the home game, Traumatize is 3 and 2 blue. It's a sorcery, and target player puts the top half of their library rounded down into their graveyard. Like, what?
How are you flashing that back? Like, but even then, it's still just half of the deck.
But still, okay, so let's say there is a Snapcaster. Okay, so let's say you use this on me, and we're a couple turns in. So let's say we're about 10 turns in. So my deck's
you're
down.
You're going 10 turns?
All right, so let's just say I'm Terra bad and you're really good. So you're playing a control deck and you're keeping me on my toes. So let's say we get like 10 turns in. I've got about 50 cards left in my deck, give or take. You drop this, I'm down to 20.
Well, no. Because you have 7 off your 60, and then you're at least 10 cards in. So you'd have like 40.
Okay, so I'm at 40. So then you drop a Traumatize. This is why I work at a bank. I'm terrible at math. Okay, so you drop a Traumatize, so I'm down to 20, okay? Then you decide you're going to be all slick, and you're going to Snapcaster it. So then you play it again, and assuming I've drawn like a card or two, and I'm down to 18, you do it again. I'm down to 9. That's painful.
So somehow you have 5 mana plus your 3 for your Snapcaster open.
If you're playing a good enough control deck and you've been able to like stall me and keep me busy for that long, I think it's feasible. I just don't see
that it being in a standard deck where you're actually like the whole goal is to get enough lands to mill them. I mean, you're better off just putting Jace out.
I mean, look at Esper Control though. I mean, they're like the kings of dirtling. Where I mean, I could easily see a deck like that stalling for that long and then just not even dicking around with the Drown Yards and not even dicking around with that and just being like, fuck it, just. I mean, someone will.
Mill is like your fourth resort to like win. No one likes being milled. It sucks. I think it's. I don't know if it's worse. I think it's worse than being mana screwed.
You think so?
I think because like at least with mana you can blame your deck, but with being milled, you don't even get to get your. You don't even get to take those cards like to do anything with. Like you're like, I have a card that can stop you.
Yeah.
No. It's demoralizing. But mana screw, you can be like, whatever, fuck it. I didn't give a mana, whatever. I'm too cool for school. I can do this. We're getting milled.
So my next choice was also going to be black, but I've decided to live a little bit and pick something else. So indestructibility. In addition to having really cool art, Enchanted Permanent has indestructible. Owie, like throw that on a Geist's Aintraft or throw that on... anything and just throw that on Olivia for God's sakes. I mean, like, being able to put that on stuff can be put that on Tameo. You're not gonna get rid of Tameo. I mean, just, I can see there's just some really nasty combinations. I think you could pair that with no, ma'am. And it's funny because I could have sworn that indestructible was sort of like hexproof, and I could have sworn that those were things that Wizards didn't want to keep going with. Like, didn't they say? Am I thinking of something else? But I could have sworn I read somewhere that they said that those things were like problematic and they were more trouble than they were worth, and they weren't going to do it anymore. And now here we are.
Oh, I forget what word it was that they were talking. Was it? I don't. I don't know. So I'm sure someone will tell us.
Yeah. I just
But I
remember
don't.
them saying, yeah. I just remember them saying, we're not going to do this anymore because of this. And then here we are with, the witch dealer, this and that. Just keep your promises. And the other card, which looks like so much fun, even though I don't play the color, you need to help me understand, make sure I'm understanding this right. Wild Ricochet.
Okay, that's
Does
fine.
that do what I think it does? Where like, let's say you play a Sphinx's Revelation. Can I do that and then say the Revelation is targeting me now, and then I'm going to copy it to me again? Or do you still get it, and I just get one or two?
You may choose. So Wild Ricochet is two and two red. It's an instant. So you can use it in response to them casting something. You may choose new targets for target, instant, or sorcery spell.
So it wouldn't target you anymore. It would go to me.
So yeah, so then and then copy that spell. You may choose new targets for the copy. So you may choose new targets.
Okay, so basically, I could take your Sphinx's Revelation and say, no, it's targeting me instead and screw you out of the Sphinx.
Yes, I think.
Wow.
And then let me see what Sphinx is. Let me see the.
Do you have to gather Sphinx's Revelation? What is wrong with you?
Okay, because I was seeing what the wording was to make
Oh,
sure, like,
you.
so you gain X life and draw X cards. So
You would just gain
targets
one.
that's targeting you. I think so.
That would be fun.
Where's the judge? Let's find a judge. Should we ask a judge? I can ask a judge.
I wonder how that would work though. So like let's say, yeah, I mean that could be a fun little, I could see UWR Flash maybe picking that up. Like, especially if I get really bonfire happy and let's say I'm like, Miracle Bonfire and then, Wild Ricochet, nope, back at you. Like, ow. Like that could be kind of painful.
I think you could bonfire. No. Could you
Yeah.
ricochet bonfire?
Yeah,
Because
because you would choose new
bonfire's a sorcery.
targets. So then they would target me and then they would copy and target me again. Like that could be painful. Yeah.
We're getting a judge call, so you have to hold on. You can cut this little part out while we wait.
Feel like we're on like Who Wants to Be a Millionaire and we're using one of our lifelines. Like I'm gonna
I'm
call the
using my
cops.
lifelines, okay? Over the 3 years of doing genocides, I have many, many lifelines. I'm gonna use them, God damn it.
Use every last one of
We're
them.
gonna pull the so what how what question are we gonna pull the audience on?
I know what we're gonna pull the audience on. I just saw a card here that would be a great. Here we go. We're gonna pull the audience on this. Do you guys think that Burning Earth is going to make a difference in Standard? That's the Mana Barbs one where any non-basic land is tapped, they get one damage. I think now is a great time to get that out. I just don't know what deck it would fit into.
Especially at a four, like when are you going to be playing that at four? It's going to
Yeah.
be.
Yeah. I mean, mono
Because
red.
when you have 4 mana, you're going to, like, everybody else's plan is to get, a stuff down. Oh, okay. So we have a judge call.
We
It
do. We have a
is
judge.
not as well as you would hope.
Oh,
Sphinx's Revelation does not target. It says you, meaning the controller of the spell. I don't think it's, yeah, because it's like target. This, like what it says, like most of the cards will say target,
that
blah,
is
blah, blah.
so slippery.
Yeah.
That's kind of like how Hellrider works. Like I remember when Hellrider first started catching on, I thought I was going to be really slick and use like a Witchbane orb, and then it's like, well, it doesn't target you. It just says like an opponent or something. And oh, that's shady. Aw, so maybe it's not as good then.
So, but you would get a copy for yourself, but they would still get theirs.
Oh, that's not good. Why do it then if they're gonna? Ew. Now I feel bad for choosing it. Well, hey, lessons learned. So, thank your judge friend for me for that
Yes.
clarification, whoever that is. Do I know who that was?
Aaron LeCluse.
Oh, that's the guy from Monday Night Magic.
Yep.
He's a good guy.
I know. I'm using my lifeline. I don't care. He's a sinner.
Oh, very sweet guy. And okay, so you and I also started
Shout
a.
out for
What was
that
that?
because he gets a shout out for
He
that.
does. I love him. And he actually wasn't on Monday Night Magic when I made my appearance. That made me
Yeah,
very
it's so
sad.
sad. He
Yeah.
wanted to
I was like this tempted. I was like this tempted to like drop. Like I remember getting on the call and being like, "Where's Aaron McClues? Where's Aaron McClues?" And they're like, "Oh, sweetie, Aaron couldn't make it tonight." And I'm like, "I."
Now you still have him on your show.
That's true. That's very true.
And you can have them all for yourself.
Oh my! I may not give.
I bet you he'll even wear a bow tie for you.
Oh, I love that. I'm such a sucker for that. You and I also have a nice little category that we came up with our last spoiler show of the What the Fuck card. What is your What the Fuck card?
Well, I have two.
Uh-oh. Okay.
So the first one is Bog Brew, the witch thing. Because no matter how much you want that to work. So what it is, it's Bog Brew Witch. Whatever. Bog Brew Witch. Bitch, whatever. It's a human wizard. It's just a human bitch. I don't know. It's a three and a black. No, don't fall. It's two and a tap. You search your library for a card named Festering Newt or Bubbling Cauldron and put it onto the battlefield tap, then shuffle your library. Mm-hmm. It's a 1/3 for four. Mm-hmm. So just like the little test you do, four mana for a 1/3. Mm. No, and then you have to pay more mana to tappy it, and then you tap it just to put it into the battlefield.
Yeah.
And just one card. And a Festering Newt doesn't do anything. And a Bubbling Cauldron, I don't even know where it is. Oh, yeah, that's the other thingy. And the Festering Newt, it's a salamander. It's a 1/1.
It reminds me of Necropede. Like, I remember I used to play Necropede, and that was an infect guy, and that was where when it would die, something would get, like, a -1/-1 counter. Yeah.
So if you have a Bog Brew Witch, like, it's good synergy, but you are never going to get this in a standard deck. Ever. Never. Ever. You just, that's a bad deck. It's going to be the janky Friday Night Magic deck. Fine. But, like, it's never going to work.
I don't know.
Once you get four mana out, so you get it out, and then you start tapping 2 mana to get it, like, you're out of mana and you don't have a guy attacking.
I don't know. I seem to recall a certain expectant mother who said that she was totally going to draft it.
And I would be like, oh, you could totally draft it. It's not going to work.
No, you said you were going to draft it, get it to work, and then be like, I'm out.
It's going to work once for one person in this entire world. I mean, okay, so I guess you just start getting Festering Newts out and you get Bubbling Cauldron. And now you have like lots and lots of mana. But you can only tap. So, I mean, if Bubbling Cauldron and the witch would not tap, it was just pay mana to get these things out, that would be much, much better. Because yeah, you can tap your cauldron for each opponent to lose 4 life.
Yeah, I just don't like relying on that many pieces of a puzzle. Like that's part of the reason.
Too many pieces of a puzzle.
That's part of the reason I don't like birthing pod decks is because, you know, if one, like, some people can do really well if one piece is taken away from them. So like you're potting up the chain. So you're 2, you pot into 3, you pot into 4, and then let's say something happens, I would totally fall apart. Like let's say you deal with my 4 drop. I'm like, I need to get to 5 and you killed my 3 and I would just start sobbing, and it would be the same way with this. It would be like, you know, I'd get my little newt out, get my little, where'd my witch go? I need the witch to get the cauldron. I don't know what's happening. And I would just sort of fall apart, and like I do not have the mental fortitude to deal with that if my plan falls apart.
Yeah, it's a really plan-y deck. I mean, like, you're going to be able to get it out maybe, you know, if you can get it in draft somehow, you have to like start with a Bog Brew Witch. Like, yeah. You have to open that and be like, we're doing this. And you just hope to God that no one else takes Festering Newts. And then you hope to God you get a Bubbling Cauldron, which is going to happen once in like a blue moon. And then you do it. And then you play that one game and then you just throw the cards down. You don't even sleeve them. You just play all out. Mm-hmm. Don't use the mat. Like, fuck this. Then you throw the cards in the wall and you walk out. No, don't do that. I mean, that's bad sportsmanship. But you just hand the deck over to the person, be like, I'm out. Take my win.
Deuces.
It's not even the match. You just have to get one game.
Yeah.
I think that's living the dream.
Dream on. So my card is not nearly as strange. I mean, yours definitely takes the cake, but mine is just more of a, so my What the Fuck card is Artificer's Hex. That is a one black. It's an enchantment. It's an enchant equipment. And then at the beginning of your upkeep, if that equipment is attached to a creature, you destroy that creature. So I'm kind of wondering, are we going to have to worry about equipment like in the near future where this is going to become a thing? Like, this is a really niche kind of card. And I'm just kind of like, why? Very confused. I like the art. The art's very freaky. But yeah, just the whole thing kind of baffles me where it's like, why? Especially if you're playing black, because with black has so much removal anyways, where why would you dick around with enchanting the equipment when you could just be like, Doomblade? Like,
like if I don't know if it's a response for like modern and legacy and vintage stuff.
Does equipment see a lot of play there?
Oh, yeah. I mean, when you get like a Jite out.
Oh, yeah.
You know, any of the swords.
Oh.
I don't know if it's something in, like a response to that, and then it's never going to get used. I don't know. I haven't really seen too much. I haven't gotten to read too much into.
Okay, so help me
legacy
out here.
Modern stuff that.
Okay, so let's say you have the sword on you. Let's say your creature has that sword on you that gives you pro black. You put this on the sword.
You cannot attach. I think the sword is pro black too. I forget. I'd have to read which sword is that?
I think sword? It's light and shadow.
I think so.
Let's see what I'm thinking of. Okay, so it gives the creature pro black, but you could still put this on the equipment. And because it's not saying destroy target creature, could you still destroy it? Like, that's kind of what I'm wondering.
Okay, so yeah, so the sword is not.
Okay.
The sword does not have protection.
Right.
So
could this destroy the creature then? Because it's not targeting it. Destroy that creature? So curious.
Oh, we get asked to judge again.
That would be too much. Pitch
Joe,
Aaron.
We already went through our lifeline.
We might as well just patch Aaron into the damn show. Like, come on.
Can you come on the show and answer all our stupid questions? Thanks. I always feel like when I started playing, and I'd be like, judge! And I'd have to be like, can you walk away from the table? I have a question. And I would sit there and ask this question. Be like, that's not how that works. I'm like, oh, okay. And I go back and sit down and be like, I just wasted 5 minutes. I'm sorry.
At least you ask the judge's questions. I just call them over to either flirt with them or if they have accents just to hear them talk. Like, you know, like the English judge. Like, judge, you know, can you read this for me? That's battalion. Wait, can you say that one more time? I didn't really get it with your freaky little, that's a battalion trigger. And I'm like, he said trigger.
Giggling.
Yes. You know, thank you so much for this. You know, that's a Lazov, Demir mastermind. Like, oof. Master my mind. Like, So let me know what your judge says about this call. I feel like we need Jeopardy music while this is happening. Like, boom.
I can ask.
Yeah, because I'm really curious about how that would work. Because, but again, even that's a really niche use for it, where it's like, you know, I feel like what the card would do well against is so, you know, the odds of you facing that are so slim. And I don't know. To me, that was my what the fuck card. Because like I said, with black, you're just so used to playing removal anyways, where, you know, if you, let's say something had the Jit attached to it, couldn't you just still be like a Doomblade or like, I don't get why you'd want to take the long way to that goal or that destination.
I don't know.
But that's just me.
I have another one too.
Another what?
Another what the fuck card.
Hit me.
The Elvish Mystic.
What's not to, what don't you get about that card?
Why not just reprint Llanowar Elf? It's been around forever.
Yeah.
Why not reprint that? Why make a new? It's not so much like what the fuck is wrong with it. It's perfectly fine, but why a new one? I mean, unless they want to have another elf that makes mana to have more elves, so you can have an elf mana deck. Like
But you could also say the same thing with, like, you know, look how many variations of, like, Giant Spider there are. Look how many, like, Towering Indrik. You know, Towering Indrik was a 2/4, you know, reprint of something else. You know, it happens like that sometimes where you need just, like, a vanilla type thing, and that happens to be it.
So, maybe.
Yeah.
I was talking to my friend about it, and he was very upset. So I was like,
he was upset about Elvish Mystic?
Why not just reprint Llanowar?
But to get really upset about that, like, how?
I don't know. He works in I forget.
Oh, was that your friend that was saying that Duels was terrible and all that?
No.
Oh, okay. That was a fun conversation because Tuck Tuck wasn't having it. Just.
No. Tuck Tuck gets angry at things. I don't get any wines, so I just start yelling.
Any word from your judge friend?
He's looking it up.
Oh my
Looking it up.
goodness.
So what else do we have? Oh, okay. So yeah, you did we need to talk about how there's no Buddy Lancet?
We did.
You did? I thought you didn't really, because you were seemed very much more angry about that than we really
No,
let
I'm
off.
actually really happy about it. I'm actually one of those people who feels like we have sort of gone crazy with the mana fixing and how everything has just sort of become so accessible now. I would love to see people scaling back to two colors or, God forbid, even one color. So I was very happy about it. I was quite content with that. And I know it sounds kind of hypocritical because I'm back on the Jund boat now, and Lord knows I love my Farseekes. But just seeing some of the decks that people have spit out lately, it's I kind of feel like I'm watching that scene in the Ten Commandments with the golden idol. And everybody loses their shit and is celebrating, and Moses is like, "This wasn't the plan," and that's kind of how I feel. Where it was cute for a little while, but now it's just gone. It's out of control.
Like,
And
it's time to end this. And we
yeah,
will have shocks around through rotation, so it's
and I
time to
have
play.
almost all of mine. The only ones I'm missing now are my Steam Vens. Otherwise, I have everyone.
Okay, we have a judge prompt.
So. We do.
So protection does only the following things and nothing more. It prevents damage, enchantment, equipping, blocking, targeting. This does none of it, so that will not save their poor little creature. So if you put
Fantastic.
that little, what is it called again? The artificers? Art, I can't talk. The hex thingy on a sword of light and shadow, the creature will die.
Sounds
Dun
like a
dun
happy ending to
dun.
me.
I mean, sometimes, I mean, like, really what you want to do is get rid of the equipment.
Yeah.
Not so much the creature.
And that's what I'm saying. It sounds like taking the long way around, you know?
But I mean, like, and you can, if it's, so let's say, like, your equipment is attached to creature A, and you want to keep creature A. After they attack, you go, I'm going to equip to a creature B. This one over here that's going to die. So, I mean, it is just one black, but I don't know. Maybe someone out there will know what to do with it. There's got to be something fun and cute about it.
I think so. So other than that, though, I'm excited about 2014. I don't think it deserves a lot of the flack that it's getting. I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be a good time.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a good draft set. I mean, Theros is going to come out in October, and that's in like 13 weeks. So the countdown is starting in 12 weeks. Yeah. So this comes out. Yep.
Yeah, I
Good
think it's going to be a
times.
good time. So,
I'm going to round out my pregnancy with M14. I mean, and everybody's going to be really excited for Theros,
until your child is born and dooms us all to a year of terrible standard.
so. Exactly.
So, if anybody's enjoyed having you on the show, Miss Jen, where can they find you? Where can they look up your show if they want to go back and listen to what you were doing? Tell us how we can reach you.
Yes, everything is still out there. It's all on genisodes.com. I'm genisodes on Twitter.
Okay.
I think I'm going to keep that forever.
Do you plan on leaving the site up and all the episodes?
Oh,
Or...
yeah. Yeah, we're paying for that, to keep everything up. Seems silly to take it down. Plus, I have my game that I made, Project in Japan Otako, so that's all linked to it. So if you like playing Magic and you want to play something fun, you should play my game.
And that's Project Ninja Panda Taco?
Yes. Oh, that's right. I never made you play it when it
No.
came. We didn't have that much time.
We could have made the time, Genesis.
I don't know. We were pretty busy.
Yeah, that's true. But you did give me that postcard advertising the game. I actually have it hanging up in my cube at work. So
Yeah,
whenever
see.
people come over to ask me work questions, they're like, "What's a panda taco nighttime?" Like Ninja. It's my friend's game. And then they're like,
Well,
"Oh."
Despicable Me 2 just came out. So if you like Despicable Me, that's exactly what my game's about. You get to
Okay.
play masterminds and minions taking over the world, which is what you want to do anyway with Magic. So, I mean, like, if you're really gung-ho.
Yeah, it's not a big leap.
Nope. You can do it. You get 2 hours, some friends, drinks. Yeah, your mastermind could take over the world using Magic
I
cards. Like, it's very. You do it. It's whatever you want to do. It's fun.
am in.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, this has been a lot of fun, Jen, and I'm truly glad to call you a friend, and I enjoyed meeting you a couple weeks ago, and I look forward to seeing you again and again, and I wish you luck with the baby, and I look forward to seeing the baby, and I look forward to hearing about how your pre-release was, and I really have learned a lot from you as a friend in terms of podcasting and just magic, and I want to thank you for that and dote on you a little bit.
Hopefully we can get Theros previews into.
Yes, and like I said,
it might not work out. I make no promises. I also have a friend's wedding. He was like 11 days before, and I'm like, I have to be a maybe. I cannot respond yes because I do not know what's going to happen.
All right. Well, other than that, though, I'm locking you in. So if there's a set coming out, you are my girl. You're my commentator.
Plus, I'm not in the hospital. I think I can do it. The baby might be crying in the background, but
nothing wrong with that. It'll add the little color to the episode, or a little.
Stop crying! Tell me about magic.
I asked for 1 hour.
Like Jen, it's like 2 days old. Like shut the fuck up.
Cast silence on the baby.
It's not working. It's not working. I don't have enough mana.
And if anyone else is listening to the show and you've enjoyed anything you've heard here, you can always find the Deck Tees first and foremost on legitmtg.com. You can also download and subscribe to the show on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. Feel free to leave me a positive review and some stars and a thumbs up. If you have any feedback for me, you can always find me on Twitter at Original Asterus. That's OriginalOestrus. You can also email me at estrus@elitistjerks.com. Next week is episode 50. That is my 1 year anniversary show with John Finkel. We recorded that the other day. It was a very, very good time. We talked about little Finkels. We talked about nose jobs. We talked about branding. We had a really, really good time. So you guys are going to die when you hear that episode. Coming up on another season, it's going to be a really good time. So thank you guys for sticking around and for listening. And please take care of yourselves, okay? Bye.